Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me into to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess the land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Oreb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread or drank water. And the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And it came about at the end of 40 days and nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone and tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you have brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they have made a molten image for themselves. The Lord spoke further to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stubborn people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier than and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the two tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain. Again at Taberah and at Massah and at Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. So I fell down before the Lord, the 40 days and nights, which I did because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy thy people, thine inheritance, whom thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, whom thou hast brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people or at their wickedness or their sin. Otherwise, the land from which thou didst bring us may say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people, even thine inheritance, whom thou hast brought out by thy great power and thine outstretched arm. Amen. Okay, let's do a quick little background. All right, The Deuteronomy, remember, they're on the plains of Moab, and they're about to enter into the promised land. And so as they do that, you'll see a lot of repetition throughout the book, because you have to remember, one generation is passing aside, and another generation is about to take a hold. So the Deuteronomy passage is really about this next generation that's renewing their covenant with God. So their fathers and their mothers, they had already done that before when they left Egypt. And now it's time for another generation, now the promised generation that was going to go into the land to renew their covenant with their God. And so part of this covenant was an issue also of obedience. And it was really very simple. You obey God, God's going to prosper you. God's going to bless you. God's going to drive out armies before you. So you do that. You obey his commands, and blessing is going to flow. Now, you disobey God's commands, there's going to be punishment. And so these guys, this new generation that are about to enter in, they need to know, but they also need to understand their history as well. They need to know where they came from. They need to know why they're in this particular situation they're in right now, why they've waited so long, and so forth. And so you remember in chapter 8, Moses begins to relate to them kind of a warning as it pertains to riches. In other words, God's going to bless you. God's going to do amazing things. But don't say in your heart that you're the one who did this, that you're the one who, you know, got all this cattle and all this wealth and all these riches. Even though you relied on the manna, now God's going to bring provision. So much food, so much wine, so many things. And then be careful, because in your heart, you might say, oh, I did this myself. So that was chapter 8. Chapter 9, very similar theme, the same idea, but now the issue is in conquest. He's saying, don't get prideful in your heart. Don't say, oh, maybe because I'm righteous, because, oh, I'm a special people. And I mean, they are in one sense, but don't lose that part of you that says, oh, it's the Lord that's doing this. And he says very simply from the beginning, listen, Israel, I'm gonna bring you into this land, and you're gonna conquer people that are much greater than you, even the Anakim, you know, even these giants. And you need to know that the Lord is the one that's doing this. And so don't say in your heart, oh, I accomplished all these things, and I'm the one who was righteous, and I was good enough for the Lord, and so he began to do these things in our lives. This is verse 4. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me into possess this land. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. And so in one way, it's God's kind of way of doing a little smackdown. He said, well, I'm going to dispossess them. It's not because of you. It's because they're so evil. I need to deal with this evil that's going on here. And so make sure that in your heart you're not lifting yourself up. Because if you do that, there's dire consequences. And so then he reminds them of their father's generation, of what happened before them. God did an amazing thing upon these people. And what do? They become haughty and prideful, and they begin to lift up this golden calf. And so Moses is just relaying the whole story of the tablets, of the covenant, of the breaking of covenant, of the golden calf, and then what he basically had to do. And so it's a pretty drawn-out description, because he's giving them a first-person account. He's giving them his account of these deeds and these actions that took place that really put them in this situation that was very dire in this regard. And so if you think about it, these last few chapters, and we'll get to actually a few more will also deal with the same theme. What is really happening is it's really a father that's, if you can imagine, that's sitting there and taking their kids and just kind of sitting them on their lap, really, and just loving them and just saying, look, these were the mistakes that your fathers, that we made. We did this and that. So you're about to enter your possession, your inheritance. Don't be prideful. Don't be haughty. There's a time that's going to come where you're going to have so much food. You relied on the manna in the desert. Now you're going to have so much food. You're going to have so much livestock and so much land. God's going to remove people from you. Don't be prideful. It's such a real fatherly heart of Moses to just, I mean, like the, when I see this passage, I just imagine, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but I just imagine Moses just taking these kids, these young adults, really, that are about to go in, and he's just being very gracious with them. And he's kind of reliving history, you know, that kind of goes on. Yesterday, at home, I was watching a documentary. I know it's really lame, but just follow me on this. I was watching a documentary on Sriracha. And it's, you know, the hot sauce. I don't know why. I just, I was bored. And so I was watching this documentary. And it was really about this guy. And it was basically the one guy that started Sriracha. And then it was, and he was actually Chinese, a Vietnamese in Vietnam, left Vietnam when communism took over, actually came to Hong Kong. As a refugee, as a Vietnamese refugee, and then went to L.A. And so it talks about his whole journey. But his son-in-law, who's actually Caucasian, he's basically running the business. And you could tell such the fondness of the son-in-law that was talking about his father. You know, he's such a hardworking man. He's so humble. And it's actually the son-in-law that's kind of telling the story of the dad. And it's quite beautiful, especially here's this Asian man and his white son-in-law, and just the incredible admiration of the son-in-law to his father-in-law. And, you know, obviously, you know, Father's Day is coming up, so, you know, like any little father thing, right, it's kind of sticking in my head, I should say, more into my spirit as the day approaches. And I think of that. It's really in that way Moses sitting with his sons and his daughters and just retelling them the whole story over again. And just in really crystal clear detail of what happened to their fathers, or really their journey through this whole thing. And so a couple of things can happen as a result. One, they would really be thankful to the Lord, right? I mean, they would remember the journey, and it's kind of a just kind of remember where you came from kind of thing. And so they'd be thankful for what God has been doing. But also the other part, too, is there would be a sense of conviction and a warning of, okay, don't follow this same path that I've taken. And I think, you know, in that same way, we as parents, we kind of operate in that regard, in the sense that, I mean, we have regrets in our life, and we make sure that we position our children so they won't have those similar regrets. I'll tell you one, I mean, really silly way that I manifested in my own life is now my kids, Elise and Emma, and soon Hannah, they're taking piano lessons right now, and we're pretty militant about this, because that's one of my biggest regrets growing up, is I never learned to play a musical instrument. My mom actually put us in piano class, and so it was actually my sister, my younger brother, myself, and we were in piano class, and there was it was very typical, a very nice old lady, grandma, lived two blocks away. We used to go to her house, and I made it to one meeting because I didn't want to have piano lessons. So I actually sabotaged the meeting, and I was like unruly. I was, you know, like just hitting the keys so hard, and it was so successful that when my mom came to pick us up, the grandma said, I'll teach your children on one condition, that don't bring this kid back. And that was me. And so that's basically what happened. And so I got off scot-free. So my brother and sister had to go take piano lessons, and I got to go play ball all day long. But what a huge regret, you know, that I'd have picked up this instrument. And so now I'm totally musically dense. And so, but I don't want my kids to have, so we're militant about them practicing every day. We're not like Tiger Mom militant, you know, I mean, just, it's only 15 minutes. And so, but just play, but it's, you know, I'm relaying to them, hey, don't have the same regrets that I had. And Moses is, that's what he's doing. You could look at this, like, man, Moses is really, like, mean, you know? He's really tough on these guys. What's his problem? You know, he's got a stick up his butt. What's going on here? But that's not, Moses' heart is to really father them as they move in to this next phase. You know, the other part of him, too, is they need a renewed covenant, because which is important because leadership is about to be passed on. And so it's going to go from Moses to Joshua. The covenant is what seals kind of the human authority of Joshua, that now he steps into this place. And so they need to honor Joshua like they honored Moses. And so he's going through, and trust me, we're going to get a couple more chapters of this, of just retelling the whole story in very much detail to really lead them into their renewal, to lead them and get them ready to enter into the promised land. And the one theme that we see in the last few chapters is pride. That, you know, now that you don't have to depend on manna every day and you have all this food, don't be prideful. Now that these huge giants are going to be dispossessed from the land in front of you and you're going to conquer them, don't be prideful. And we see how this continues to manifest. You know, don't say in your heart, and that's really where it's about. It's in our heart. Don't say in your heart, oh, I did this, or because I'm this, or this or that. And so be very careful of how that works. Amen? Let's close our eyes. When the Lord reminds us, and really, in the modern day, what that's called is just the conviction of the Spirit. And when that happens, do we take it as a nuisance? Do we take it as, oh man, you know, God, why are you not letting me do this or that? Or do we take it as a father that's lovingly disciplining his children? When God begins to warn us about the pride in our heart and convict us in that way, how do we respond? Do we respond with fear and trembling, or just really respecting the authority of the Father? Or do we respond with even more haughtiness? Like, Moses is making a very clear black and white case. You obey God, blessing is going to flow. You disobey God, punishment will be the result. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us about when we come under the same kind of conviction. When we are warned about our pride, when we are warned about our frailty, obviously, let's condition our heart to respond in humility. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Well, let's pray together. Thank you. Let's ask the Lord to turn our hearts to Him. Let's ask the Lord to move in our hearts in a way that when we come under conviction and when we're confronted with the commandments of the Lord and what God's asking us to do, that we would respond as sons, that we would come under the discipline of the Lord, knowing that He loves us, that He wants the best for us, instead of coming to Him with excuses and haughtiness of heart. It's all about the heart. Let's give Him our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's lift up those that are battling cancer and sickness. Let's pray for God's hand of healing upon them. Pray for the spirit of encouragement to come over their families as they draw closer to Jesus. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and especially spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's hand upon them as God provides. Let's go to our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for China. Let's ask for the hand of the Lord to be upon, firstly, our church. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family. Pray for the board that's working. Pray for Pastor Hyunsoo and Chloe as they move into this transition. Let's pray for our other missionaries in China. Pray for Jesse. Pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark. Let's lift up the churches, the Three Self, the Underground, the house churches, and the international churches. Let's ask the Lord to really move upon the leaders and really lead their churches in the ways of the Lord. Let's just lift up China. Let's ask for God's hand to be continually placed upon this country, that righteousness would continue to flow, that the Lord would have His way in this country. Yeah? Let's pray. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for each person. Pray for their families. Pray that that first of all, that each decision that is made, that is very prayerful, that we hear from God, and that we lead our church with humility and with a lot of grace. Let's just lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista. Let's pray that God would just really continue to bless our volunteers and our leaders, and that God would add more to the number, and they would just do a real wonderful job. It's not just their job, but it's a whole church of welcoming our guests. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for the men for the morning, Monday morning prayer and the Pure Desire group. Let's pray for the women in their ministry. Pray for Yaman and Yamama. Let's pray for the leaders and people would come and just really connect with each other and grow as men and women. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Causeway Bay Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and Taihang. Let's pray for God's hand upon our leaders as they discuss the message and really allow the Holy Spirit to take us deeper in love with Him and also with one another. And let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. God, we receive it. God, we receive your commands and your desires, Lord, as sons, Lord. God, you're our Father. Lord, you put us on your lap, God, and you tell us very clearly, God, what you desire, Lord, and help us to respond as sons, Father, knowing that you love us, that you want the best for us, God. You're not trying to limit us, God. You're not trying to cause any harm to come our way. Lord, that's how we want to receive your commands. And so help us change our hearts, Lord, to you. We love you, God. We thank you so much, for all that you do in our lives. Lord, help us to live this day, God, in a manner that's worthy of you, that glorifies your name, Father. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.